Luke chapter number 18. Luke 18. Amen, amen, amen. Luke 18 is one verse of scripture. Verse number 8. Jesus said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Amen. Shall he find faith on the earth? Praise God. I want to just broaden the topic that I spoke of for a couple of minutes at prayer meeting a couple of Tuesday nights ago. And I want to preach for just a few minutes of time. Faith must never die. Amen. Faith must never die. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen and amen. And God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. I think that the utmost thing that we know, but we must understand and that we must bear in mind at all times, as the Bible tells us, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Praise God. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Somewhere or another, you have got to make sure that you've got the faith, and you've got to make sure that you get a hold of it, and that you don't ever, ever, ever let it go. Because when you let it go, you are letting go of the favor of God. Amen. God helping you, walking with you. It is a walk of faith. Praise God. Everything that we do is a walk of faith. The prayers that we pray, they are faith believing. You could go to the judge and have, I don't want to say it like this, but it's easier to have more faith in somebody that you can see than in somebody that you can't see. And everything that we do is a work of faith. But we do believe that there is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun, abstain from, to keep from going to. Amen. And therefore, we are here today because of that. And when we stop believing in heaven, and we stop believing in hell, amen, then our hope is diminished. And part of all of this is what the Lord was talking about here in the text today, is that you can become so weary in well-doing. You can become so weary in doing the same monotonous things over and over and over again. And it just seems like you've got to that place again, and then nothing happens, and it's so easy to just stop believing. Praise God. How many times have we come to the place that we have all felt like, surely the Lord's coming is on the horizon. Surely it can't be much further away. Surely it must not be very long at all from this place. I can remember even as a child and hearing the preaching about the coming of the Lord and the fear that it placed upon us, and just believing that God could come any moment or any time. And some 30 and 40 years later, here we are again, talked to several elders throughout life, and they have said that many of their retirement plans were null and void because they never put away. They never saved. And the common saying among them was just simply this: I never figured I would need anything because I figured that the Lord would come long before I ever got to this place in time. Amen. But, you know, here we are. We are somewhere. I remember the year 2000, Y2K, as it came upon everybody, and the fear that was upon the entire world and what was going to happen, and people in the United States began to feel just a little bit better because those that was overseas were surviving, and chaos wasn't erupting over there. And then the East Coast survived, and then finally it came to us and we were able to survive it. And do we realize that that was some 26 years ago, and the fear that is there? And after that came 9/11, and we were attacked on our homeland, and we just felt like the coming of the Lord was so very close, and it didn't happen. And yet the Bible speaks and says that he is coming at a time when man thinks not. Bible says that no man knows the day nor the hour, and we've got to continue to keep the faith. Praise God. And it's not just the faith that the Lord is going to return, even though in a real degree it all kind of culminates in that place, because everything that we do is in living in hope for that blessed hope, the coming of the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's why we live the way that we live and do the things that we do. But when people began to lose hope, when people began to lose faith, amen, you see them begin to stagger. You see them begin to grow weary and well-doing, and they don't do well as often as they used to do. And the things that they held to don't seem to hold on to them anymore. And the things that were important just become a little less important, and time begins to wear away, and they become even less important. And Jesus, foreseeing this even in his day and time, said that when the Son of Man cometh, I'm just wondering, shall he find faith upon the earth? Or did everybody quit believing? Did everybody, amen, stop believing in the rapture? Did everybody stop believing, amen, about the good things that God can do and such? And so I just come today, tonight, to tell you that there is an all-out attack upon your faith. Amen. Not just your faith in the second coming of the Lord, but there is an attack against your faith concerning every little thing, every nuance that is a part of our lives. There is an attack upon that. Amen. People stop getting prayed for because that they have been prayed for multiple times, and they have never received their healing, and they've just come to the place to accept, amen, that maybe this is the will of God for me, or maybe I just don't believe in miracles anymore, and maybe they just don't happen, and maybe everybody that spoke of them in the future were mistaken, and they didn't happen, and you will lie to yourself because you've seen it happen, and you've been there. You've heard it, you've felt it, but there's just a way that time has a way of wearing on your faith, and that's because the enemy of your soul knows this important principle that I have already stated here today, is that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You've got to believe that he's still coming. You've got to believe that all power is still given unto him, both in heaven and in earth. You've got to believe that but he is still able to direct your paths and to order your steps. You've got to believe that your times are in his hands. You've got to believe that he is still able to heal and to save even to the uttermost. You've got to believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Praise God. And you cannot fail and you cannot falter to believe. But even in the days of the disciples, they would come to Jesus and say, Lord, amen. And others would be around and they would also say, Lord, we believe, but help thou our unbelief. Amen. There's just something that is always working against your belief. Amen. Just beginning to think and beginning to accept. It's always going to be like this. This is just my lot in life and it's never going to get better. I've come to challenge that understanding here today. I've come to challenge that belief here tonight. Because I still believe that God is able to do it. And I still believe that there is nothing that God cannot do. You say, well, Pastor, have you ever been in the place, amen, where you wouldn't believe? I'm human here today. And I'll tell you that I fight it just like anybody and everybody else would fight it. Amen. It takes, amen, every day getting up and declaring to yourself, God, you're still able. May not have seen what I wanted to see yesterday, but I'm going to believe that I'm going to see it today. May not have saw what I wanted to see this weekend, but I'm still going to believe that you're going to do it. May not have experienced revival like I wanted to experience and expected to experience, but I still believe you've got revival in store. May not have been able to baptize somebody today, but I'm still believing God that we're going to baptize somebody soon. May not have been able to see somebody filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but I'm still going to believe that soon and very soon you're going to do it. May not have seen, amen, visitors come in by the scores, but I'm still believing God that you're going to come through and that it's going to happen. May not have seen that the home Bible studies that we're teaching are coming through and they may have fallen apart, but I'm still believing that somebody else wants a Bible study. Somebody else wants Jesus. Somebody else wants to change their life. Somebody else needs a healing. Somebody else is looking for something better than what they've ever experienced. Somebody else is not happy with where their life is. It may seem that everybody else is content and satisfied, but I just believe that somebody else is crying themselves to sleep at night and saying, if there be a God that is out there, would you lead me in the right way? Church, you gotta keep the faith. Amen. You've gotta keep the faith. You cannot look upon the things that are seen, for those things are temporal, but it's the things that are not seen that are eternal. Would you just give him praise here today? Praise God. I'm still praying for a family of six. I'm still praying for a family of four. And I'm still praying for a family of three. I prayed for those three families today. I don't know the names of those families, but I know that they're out there somewhere. You know what? I was even praying. And I asked God, I said, now God, why didn't I pray for a family of five? I don't know. I did, though. I prayed for a family of six. I prayed for a family of four, and I prayed for a family of three on a regular basis. Praise God. But in the day and the age that we live in, there is a delay because there is such a thick prevailing atmosphere spiritual oppression, spiritual depression that is come against the people of God. And that's because the Bible says that if the devil knows one thing, he knows that he has but a short time in order to deceive the very elect. And what a better way, what better way is there than to get the favor of God off of his people than to destroy their faith? Because the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we must understand, recognize, and see that there will be and is a spiritual decay in the end times. The Bible talks that as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And he knew not until the flood came and took them away. And so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And God said, my greatest concern is that shall I find faith when I come back to the earth? Jesus likened the last days unto a faithless and a perverse generation. And we are seeing very vividly the perverseness that has invaded our world. And some of the sickest, perverted, most ungodly things that you and I can imagine are going on, and we are seeing it in the news at different times. It is such a perverse generation, but hiding under the cloak behind all of this perverseness, amen, is the enemy against faith. The enemy that says God can't help you, God can't reach you, God can't do that for you. God doesn't hear your prayers. Amen. And it just goes on and on. Whether it is somebody speaking it or just hearing it in your mind. And so we need to know that unshakable faith has got to be necessary. An unshakable faith, even as Noah had in his generation. The Bible said that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Noah was in the same situation that we are in today, in that God had told him that a flood was going to come and the rain was going to come, and he didn't know how to really explain it or how to tell or to warn somebody other than what God had begun to explain it to him. And here we are, and we've never seen the rapture happen and never heard of the rapture happen, but somehow or another we've got to try to get people to understand that God is coming back. And in the process of all of this, Noah was saving his family, just as you and I are doing our best to save our families. And so by faith, Noah is out there building an ark day in and day out, year in and year out. Some 100 years Noah is building this three-story building that had a deck area the size of 36 lawn tennis courts or 20 standard college basketball courts, big enough to contain 522 standard U.S. railroad stock cars, 450 foot long, 75 foot wide by 45 foot tall, or in other words, 33,750 square feet per floor, or 101,250 total square feet. It was not until 1884 before Noah's ark size was exceeded by the Italian liner, the Etruria, which was built at that time. time. Amen. One of the scholars said that Noah's Ark could have supported some 16,000 animals with the commandments given unto Noah to take and to make the ark. Amen. And Dr. Whitmer believes that less than half of that cumulative area of the ark's three decks need to have been occupied by animals and their enclosures. In other words, there was enough room that everybody could have got on that ark. Amen. In other words, amen, Noah just kept, I've built some extremely large buildings. And I have built buildings that are bigger than 101,000 square foot, multiple times bigger than that. But I want you to know that that is an enormous, enormous building. Amen. And Noah's building it, and Noah doesn't have any experience in it. It's not on his resume. He's just doing what God said. I don't know how he got those logs up 45 foot up into the air. I don't know how he accomplished it all. But year after year, it's just Noah. And he's still building and still building and still building. I want you to know that in year 90, that Noah is still building like it was year one. There is a fervency and a faith with inside of him that says, I've got to get this done. And the Bible said, amen, that as it were in the days of Noah, when the long suffering of God prevailed, amen, Noah was fixing and working on the boat, amen, and God was saying, come on, Noah, I've got a flood that I'm holding back, but as soon as you're ready, I'm going to release it and the flood's going to come. I believe that there is a God that's got the rapture ready and the trumpet is ready to sound. I just wonder how many of God's people is saying, oh God, can you give us just a little while? I've got family that still needs to be saved. I've got lost loved ones that still need to be saved. I've got children that still need to be saved. But there's coming a time that either the whole church is going to say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly, we pray. Amen. Or God's going to say, it's enough. Amen. You got to make sure that you're on the ark and the trumpet of the Lord is going to sound. Praise God. You've got to have faith that fails not. Amen. Year after year. I'm telling you, God is able and God can come through. But God even had to look at Peter, the one that would preach the day of Pentecost, and say, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Oh, let's love the Lord here today. Praise God. Don't be upset if your faith has wavered. Amen. Just understand that God wants you to succeed. But success isn't in having everything that you want. Success is just getting through day by day. If you can defeat today, amen, then you have won. And you are successful. Praise God. When Jesus died, we would see that the disciples would disperse, that they would begin to just, 3 days, they just kind of moped around and wandered around. People whose faith had been so very, very high, but just one moment's time was able to destroy their faith. And the coming of the Lord, the return of the Lord, the resurrection of the Lord would cause their faith to also be resurrected. It took a little bit to persuade Thomas, but we know it happened. And there was something that was instilled in them that they began to go forth. And they didn't have Jesus walking by their side any longer. They didn't have Jesus to come to when they were having some issues and problems and Noah didn't understand some things. Amen. But they knew that he was there and that he was ready to help them. Praise God. And so God's greatest concern of finding faith upon the earth is multiplied when we see that that Paul would tell Timothy, know this, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Fierce, grieving times, reducing the strength, dangerous and difficult times are going to come against the church. Amen. And the church has got to yet keep the faith. Amen. Your enemy is doing everything that he can to steal your faith. And just when you think that you're finally getting it together, just when you think that you're finally getting on top of things, it seems like the devil just pulls the rug right out from you, and you think to yourself, I just wish I would have been content and satisfied with what I had before all of that. But I want you to know that there is a God that is beckoning you to come closer. There is a God, amen, that desires to show you more. There is a God, amen, that is doing what he can in order to help. And as I spoke last, a couple of Tuesday nights ago to the prayer meeting crowd that was here, and I said, if you go through the book of Acts and you begin to look at all the revivals, because that's where Acts gets all of the credit for. Oh, look at the outpouring that God did. Look at the multitudes that received the Holy Ghost. 5,000, 3,000 multitudes, both men and women. Great people, amen. Governors and all this, and there was revival all over the place, and Acts is a book of revival. I want you to know, go find me one revival where pressure and persecution didn't precede the revival. It's not there. Every time they had an experienced revival, there was some kind of pressure, some kind of persecution. Stephen was stoned. There was revival that happened. Peter's thrown into jail. Paul and Silas thrown into jail. Revival happened. Revival happened. Amen. All kinds of things. They were beat, and then revival happened. And all of these things. And I just want to tell you that it is the way of the enemy to try to destroy the faith of the believers, the people of God. Amen. Because he understands and he sees the spiritual thickness that is there. And as it begins to grow smaller and smaller, and knowing that he has but a short time, knowing that victory is within the reach of the church, he does everything and throws everything that he can against the church to cause the church to back off and to set in the molly grubs and just to be despondent and depressed. But we see that throughout the book of Acts, amen, they did not do that. They did not throw in the towel. They did not stop having faith. Paul and Silas are in jail. Amen. And it would be easy to sit there in depression and put on sackcloth and ashes. But what do we see Paul and Silas doing? They were singing, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Amen. And they began to sing about it. Amen. And then all of a sudden things began to become unstable, and the devil lost his hold, and the chains fell off, and the gates opened up, and Paul and Silas walked out. Peter is in the jail, and Peter is scheduled to be killed the next day, but God's got other plans, and Peter's sitting there waiting, however it is, whether he's content and asleep, amen, and he just feeling, if it's my time, it's my time. But God had other plans, and an angel would walk into that situation and get Peter by the arm and say, come on, we're getting out of here. And Peter walked out of the jailhouse to a prayer meeting that was going on, and prayer, amen, and revival would take place. Other times it seemed like they was endangered, but God made a way, and they were dropped down the side of the wall in a basket, and revival would happen, and people would come and would mock them, amen, and would follow them around, and they would pay no attention to them, having revival, and then turn around and rebuke those that was mocking them. And go, I'm just simply saying, church, you gotta keep on having faith. And when the devil fights the hardest, then that means that you need to pray just a little bit more. Amen. When the devil stands like a roaring lion, amen, desiring to destroy your faith, then stand up with your faith and say, if God be for us, then who can be against us? No weapon that is formed against us shall be able to prosper. And just keep on keeping on. Amen. Even as Peter would say unto Timothy, I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Do you still have the faith tonight as we stand? Do you still have the faith tonight? Is your faith still as strong as it was in those days? Does your heart still beat like it used to beat when everything was going great? Do you still have faith? If not, then you need to go get your faith. Amen. You need to get a hold of your faith. There's things to accomplish. There's things to take. There's revival to have. There's miracles to have. Amen. But it all takes faith in the Lord. Let's worship Him here tonight. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, these altars are open here tonight. Amen, amen. Do you have faith? Could you march to the front with some faith? Hallelujah. Maybe your faith has been buried in a closet somewhere. Pull it out. Pull it out. Pull it out. Get it back. Get it back. Get it back. Hallelujah. Maybe your faith died somewhere. Go back to that grave. Speak unto it in Jesus' name and resurrect it. I'm not giving up. I'm not backing up. I'm not quitting. I'm going forward in Jesus' name. I'm still believing in Jesus' name. I'm still going forward in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm still going forward in Jesus' name.